So when people hear that my husband won the Nobel Prize, they usually have three questions. The first question, what did he win for? The second question, did you know he was going to win? And the third question, do they really call at 5 a.m.? So the first question, he and his colleagues and his competitors discovered something that Einstein had theorized and then rejected, that the universe was expanding at an ever-accelerating rate. And while I could go on for more and longer detail, we'll just move right on to question number two. Question number two is usually, did you know that you were nominated to win? And I can tell you that there's really no public nominating process. There's no whisper campaign that goes on. There are sort of sidebar conversations with people from the Nobel Committee that start something like this. This conversation never happened. But really, there's no official nominating list. Although there are some organizations like Reuters who publish their predictions. And so it did come to pass that Adam's work on the accelerating universe did make the prediction list. Which, you know, again, really doesn't mean anything other than it sort of amps up the anxiety level a little bit, thinking that this could go on for like 45 years or never happen at all, and you really have no idea. But the Johns Hopkins PR director, on the other hand, wants to be sure to be prepared every one of those years, even if it is for 45 years. And so in about 2009, they started pre-drafting the press release. Reese wins Nobel Prize. And every year they asked him to sign off on it and approve it, just in case that was going to be the year he won the Nobel Prize. So that felt pretty absurd, you can imagine, signing off on a press release that announces you win the Nobel Prize on the off chance it ever really happens anyway. And the third question is, do they really call at 5 a.m.? So in our case, it was 5:36 on the morning of October 4th, if anyone was really curious. And it sort of started like this. We're lying in bed, listening to our 10-month-old Kvetch, you know, from his crib, like, wah, wah. Like, oh, do you think he's really awake? Maybe he'll fall back to sleep. Then he gets a little more insistent, and I say, oh, I got him last night, you get him. And he says, no, no, I was already up three times, you get him. And we're sort of, you know, elbowing each other a little bit. And then the phone rings, 5:36. And Adam says, you're kidding me. And I think, who died? So he picks up the phone, and it goes something like this. Hello, this is Stockholm calling for Dr. Adam Reese. He's like, this is he. Then he starts shaking a little, and I sit up and I start shaking a little, and whatever Noah is doing over there in his crib, we just can't hear a thing, because the world got very quiet. Then they, you know, the chairman of the physics committee comes on and says, Dr. Reese, we're pleased to something. Who knows what he actually said, but something like we're pleased to let you know you've been awarded the Nobel Prize along with your colleagues and your competitors. Adam's like, thank you, shaking. So we're both sitting on the edge of the bed by now. And then nine other people get on the phone. Every committee member wants to provide their particular congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. I whisper, say, I'm very honored. I'm very honored. So then they say, okay, the news is embargoed for 15 minutes because we're going to have our press release in Sweden, so you can't tell anyone. So he hangs up the phone, and we're sitting there. Still can't hear a thing from Noah's room, thank goodness. And Adam says, I have to call my mother. And I said, well, you're not supposed to. And he says, I have to call my mother. So calls his mother, 5:41 in the morning. Hello? Mom, I just won the Nobel Prize. Oh, my, Adam. I gotta go. Hangs up the phone. So we're sitting there, and he says, I have to call your parents. I'm like, okay. So he calls my mother, Phyllis, answers the phone. Hello? Probably thinking, who died, right? Phyllis, I know you never thought I would amount to anything. But I just won the Nobel Prize. She, of course, doesn't remember a thing. So he hangs up the phone. He says, I have to call my sister. They're very, very close. I was like, you're not supposed to. He calls his sister. Gail, Adam, I just won the Nobel Prize. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, are you freaking out? He's like, no, but you are. So goes our morning. He gets in the shower. Needless to say, I get the baby. So in the 8 days between Rosh Hashanah, 2011, and Yom Kippur, 2011, our life goes from pretty ordinary to intensely surreal. But my daughter Gabby and I did manage to make it to the Yom Kippur Children's Service that year, which Sharon Krever Weisbaum leads every year. And about halfway through, she invites my daughter up in front of all these people, which is not Gabby's favorite activity, to speak in front of a group of people she doesn't know. At the time, she was 7, quiet, petite girl with little blonde curls. And Sharon says, Gabby, I hear your daddy won a big prize this week. She said, yes. She said, what was that prize? Gabby said, the Nobel Prize. And the whole congregation, ah. And she saw that, and she heard it. That was really impactful to her. Okay, so between October 4th and December 4th, which was the day we were meeting President Obama, and then December 5th, which was the day we were flying to Sweden to meet the king and the queen, we had a lot to get done. Passports for the children, travel arrangements, steamer trunks to be ordered. And what does one wear to meet the queen? For real. I had no idea. So I knew one thing. The one suit that Adam had hanging in his closet that he pulled out for every family occasion, every bar mitzvah, every wedding, was not going to cut it. Nor was anything I had in my closet, considering I had a baby 11 months ago. And I never had an excuse to meet the queen, so I called Saks Fifth Avenue. Imagine this. Hi, may I speak to someone in the personal shopping department? Yeah, my husband just won the Nobel Prize. Now, at Saks Fifth Avenue, maybe they hear that all the time, but I felt a little awkward. We called Brooks Brothers. My dad took me to Brooks Brothers. Hi, my son-in-law just won the Nobel Prize. I mean, it's very surreal, right, to start talking about that. So I made a number of trips down to Chevy Chase back and forth in those 8 weeks, packed our steamer trunks, and so the flurry began. And it was obviously wonderful and anxiety-provoking and over the top and memorable and a blessing for which we are both forever grateful. Mostly I'm grateful that it happened in the first 5 years, not 45 years of waiting. But so I'll just close with this one example of just how over the top everything was. So, you know, when you're an ordinary person, you take the airplane to wherever you're going and you get off, and like every other schmuck, you walk down and you get your own luggage. Well, when you're someone special, at least for 13 days, you, of course, fly business class to Stockholm. And I don't know if you ever noticed, because I never did, but right when you step out of the airplane door, before you even walk down the jetway, apparently there's a little door off to the right. So people met us right off the airplane, the entourage, I don't know, and escorted us quickly off to the right, and there's a door there. And there's a private stairway there. And there are black cars at the base waiting to whisk you off to the private waiting area where while you sip cappuccino and munch on a biscotti and your children who knows what, they're retrieving your luggage, stamping your passport, and all that good stuff. It's pretty, pretty sweet. Considering when the ceremonies are over and the last champagne bubble has popped and you fly back to Newark Airport, there is no entourage, there is no private stairway, and you're the schmuck with your own cart piling on your luggage and heading back home. Thank you very much.